Welcome to 3GT, the podcast for three guys, a pastor, a professor, and a parishioner discuss theology from a practical standpoint, all from a Reformed perspective. Find out more at 3GT.xyz.
Welcome back to another exciting episode of 3GT, where three guys sit and theologize about topics broad. We have with us today the president and professor, Barry York, the pastor, Kyle Borg, and I am your humble host and parishioner, Scott Hunt. We welcome you. We generally like to discuss various topics and things that are of interest to people and more importantly to us. And today is no different. We are talking about the education of our children and specifically how we should do this as Christian parents. There's generally three options that are used in some way or another. That's homeschooling. A lot of Christians have taken to homeschooling. There's the private school option that some parents have chosen to do. And then there's the public school option, which has been a favorite of our country. I know many public schools are compulsory. I know even in the state of Indiana, where I'm from, there is compulsory education and a requirement to have public education. What's interesting is there's very strong opinions on this, and each one of us comes to this topic with certain baggage, with a history. And I was reminded, guys, of a quote from a movie. I like to throw in some trivial cultural references every now and again. And it's kind of off topic here, but if you've seen Forrest Gump, I don't know if either of you have seen Forrest Gump. Have you?
Of course.
Okay. So, Barry didn't answer that. Barry, have you seen Forrest Gump?
I'm the guy who's not real culturally relevant, and I have seen parts of it. Let's just put it that way. I've seen a scene or two of it, but not the whole movie.
There's a scene where Forrest Gump is talking about Lieutenant Dan, and he says, Lieutenant Dan sure knows his stuff.
Will you say it like Forrest Gump?
I cannot. No, I can't. I won't. I will not. Lieutenant Dan sure knows his stuff. I felt real lucky he was my lieutenant. He was from a long, great military tradition. Somebody in his family had fought and died in every single American war. I know that doesn't sound too funny. If you hear that with the Forrest Gump accent, it does kind of make sense. But just to give you both kind of a historical background, I think we've talked about this a little bit. My grandmother was a public school teacher. She taught math for many years. My grandfather, who was a pastor, taught in public school for a few years to supplement his income. My grandmother on my wife's side, her grandmother, she worked in the cafeteria at a public school for many years. My father was a public school teacher for 40 years, teaching fourth through sixth grade. My mother was a public school teacher for 40 plus years, teaching generally third grade. My wife's mother, my mother-in-law, was a teacher who taught 40 plus years mathematics in the public school. My brother is a teacher who taught business and is now the CFO for a public school corporation.
Scott, stacking the deck. We all know where this is going.
And my sister-in-law, is also a teacher, a guidance counselor, and she's now the director of virtual learning for a public school corporation. So to say that I have been influenced, or not influenced necessarily, but have been exposed to the idea of public school would be an understatement. So you can imagine my family's surprise about, 12 years ago when we decided to homeschool our son. It was a very interesting conversation. So nonetheless, so you understand that I'm not coming from some unknowing place when I talk about public school. I do have some general background in that. But I also, and I'm sorry, I'm taking way too much time in this introduction, but I also want to remind the listeners of the covenant of baptism, which I believe we all took when we had our children baptized. It says, in this light, that is our child being a possession of God entrusted to our care, do you promise to, among other things, provide him or her with a God-centered education? That's kind of where I want to begin our discussion today. What does the Bible say about education, and why is how we educate our children so important? I mean, is it just about learning the three R's, or is there something more to it?
What are the reduced, reuse, and recycle?
That's right.
Is that the three R's you're thinking
That's
of?
That's the modern three R's.
Yeah, okay.
Which is probably what is taught in public schools today, rather than the original three R's.
Right.
Why is it important? Why is this topic important?
I think the topic is important because let's just start with what I think is the horribly obvious biblical teaching concerning these things. And that it is the primary responsibility of parents to teach their children, and especially to teach their children the things of the Lord. What goes on in church or anywhere else is in some ways, and I say this even with a very high view of what the preaching of the word, but in some ways can only be supplemental to a child's education. And if that child's not being instructed in the things of the Lord at home, we stand very little chance of making much headway with that child. And I think scripture is very plain about that. In Ephesians, we read that parents are to raise their children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. That is a responsibility given to parents. You think of Deuteronomy, even the church in the Old Testament, and the responsibility that was placed upon parents, that when you sit and when you rise and when you walk and when you go in the way, you need to be instructing your children in the things of God. And so scripture does put a very big responsibility on parents for the education of their children in the things related to the Lord.
You have anything to add, Barry, to that, why this might be important?
Well, just confirming what Kyle has said, I do think it's a God-given responsibility that, as you mentioned, the covenant baptism vows that the Lord has placed children into our care so that we can raise them in the fear and nurture of the Lord. Psalm 127 is another scripture passage I go to, as it talks about how children are the Lord's good gift to us, and that we have the responsibility as parents to get to that place where the imagery there is that they're like arrows placed in our hands, and we have to send those arrows out into this world to possess the gates of God's enemies. So in other words, they need to be raised with the knowledge of the kingdom of God so that they can go forth and represent the Lord in this world. So we have a great responsibility as parents to raise our children to know God through his son, Jesus Christ.
And especially when you think, you know, as we're talking about the education of children, children are naive, they're ignorant, they don't come into the world knowing all things. They're also very impressionable, and they're very, it's very formative years. And we are fools if we do not recognize that there is a spiritual battle going on for the minds and the hearts of our children. And that is the principles of this world versus the principles of the kingdom of grace. And we need to take that very seriously. Our children are not neutral in that. Our children are not on the sidelines or behind, you might say, the front lines. There is a battle being waged for the minds of our children. And so every parent ought to be extremely concerned with those things that are shaping, forming our children's minds. And I think scripture recognizes that.
So clearly I didn't mean to cut you off, but clearly it's an important topic. And did you want to add something else, Barry?
Oh, I was just going to confirm again what Kyle is saying. And so often when we start these discussions about educating our children, we immediately jump into these three different realms of homeschooling, private schooling, or public schooling. And I think we have to take a step back and first and foremost, really emphasize what we're saying here. that it's a parental duty. It's a, God has entrusted children to us, and it's the parent's duty to make sure that they are being raised in God's fear and knowledge and trained appropriately to go into adulthood successfully as a disciple of Jesus Christ. And so then we can start talking about the means by which someone does that. But before we get to those different means, we really, I think, have to look more foundationally at the responsibility that God has given parents.
So is it fair to say that if we're getting in a discussion with our neighbor, a relative about this, the primary question that has to be addressed is not the method of schooling, but why you do it? I mean, would you agree that the primary thing, that as long as you can both agree that it is a duty given to parents by God, then we can talk about these other things. But if there's not an agreement on that, then this is kind of a superfluous conversation.
Yes, exactly. And there's a lot of philosophies out there in our modern society, our modern world, where that's not a given anymore, that it's the parents' duty to raise the children. The state, in many cases, thinks that it's its role to raise the next generation of its citizens. There are whole nations built on that premise. So I think we have to, from a biblical worldview, a Christian worldview, we have to say the created order tells us that it starts in the home, that the child is entrusted not to the state, but to the parent.
Right. So, and I just say that to try to ease some people who are going to be getting into these debates as they get older, as they have children, understand who you're talking to, because that will help what you're debating.
Mm-hmm. And I would add really quick here too, not only, Barry, I echo what you said, that our children don't belong to the state, but in a qualified sense, parents also need to realize our children don't belong to the church in that sense. It's not, right, this responsibility does not primarily fall on the church's shoulders. I think a lot of people, and maybe this is going a little bit on a tangent, but a lot of people assume that, right? Like, well, I'm going to send my kid to school to get their secular education, and Sunday school is going to cover their religious education, mm-hmm. and I'm glad the church is doing that. And they ignore that duty as parents, and they're not doing, and so I want to say it's not just the state. It's also the church is not the primary and the first and foremost caretaker of the children. You know, we do believe that the church has a role in helping parents raise covenant children. We love our covenant children. We guard them. We protect them. We disciple them. But again, the responsibility is on the parents.
Mm-hmm. All right. So assuming we're talking to somebody who, I guess, on a fundamental level agrees that it's the parents' responsibility. And to what degree, you know, it may be different, but have you observed that there are very strong opinions on this topic?
No, never.
Have you ever held a strong opinion on the topic? No. Well, yeah. I think we can all agree that there are strong opinions, be it from, and you often get it from the homeschool movement, which is fine, but why do you think there are such strong opinions on the method that is used to fulfill your duty?
A couple things I believe play into that. One is that we're talking about our children, and that's the most precious treasure that God's entrusted to us, is our own children. So people are going to be have a lot of energy when it comes to talking about how their children are treated, how they're educated. So I think that's one thing. I think that there are, especially in more recent years with the movement of homeschooling, with in certain sections of the church, rediscovery of other options like Christian schooling and that type of thing. Whenever people begin a movement, there's a lot of energy going into that movement. And if you're not on board with that movement, you can be seen as a traitor, or that you don't really care as much about educating your children if you don't do it a certain way like others do it. And so I think that's part of the reason for conflicts. Anytime that there's a difference in the church regarding a particular topic, where there could be biblically some freedom, it's often easy for God's people to want to hunker down and get in their own camps and say, I'm of this group rather than that group. And so I think that's part of the reason that there's kind of like, it's just human nature.
I think too, within the broader Reformed world, you know, Christian schools are in some ways, and I say this with love and respect, but in some ways they're almost like the third sacrament, especially for Dutch Reformed Christians. And I love our Dutch brothers, but if you read Cornelius Van Til or Louis Berkhof, you realize the priority that is put on Christian education, that this is something that is fundamentally necessary. You know, it was not too long ago where some of these Reformed denominations would discipline you if you were not sending your children to Christian schools. And so, and whether that has merit to it or not, I'll let our listeners decide for themselves, but it has a very prominent place in the broader Reformed Christianity, the role especially of Christian schools. And there have been a number of very capable, very eloquent, very godly men whom I respect who have really sought to make biblical cases for things like Christian school versus public school or even versus homeschool.
And even just, you know, the Reformed Presbyterian testimony under chapter 24, in our testimony, it says, where necessary and possible, Christian parents should cooperate in supporting or establishing schools whose curriculum presents a biblical world and life view. So it's not something that's completely settled in the Dutch Reformed tradition. I mean, that's something that's even prescribed and encouraged in our own traditions. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That being the case, is there a right option? So is there a right answer to this? That's the question I want to get at.
Yeah, Barry, is there a right answer to this?
How should we?
Yes, there is a right answer that each family has to determine. So, you know, we're all in different settings. And Scott, you know, because we were in a church together for a time that a number of us wanted to do schooling. And so we did some homeschooling. But as our children got older, different families felt incapable of handling all of that education of their children on their own and sought other options. There wasn't present really a strong Christian school that ideologically we agreed with. And so some of us banded together and formed an academy, a cooperative, and different people came together and taught. We had others in our congregation that weren't able to participate in that for one reason or another and chose other options. And so I think there's freedom here for Christian parents before God to prayerfully seek God's wisdom and decide how they are going to best educate their children. I think, you know, there becomes a big question regarding public schooling, and maybe we'll get to that a little bit more here as we go along. But I think that Christians really need to think thoroughly about where they are, what options present themselves, and how are they going to give their child a God-centered education. They can't just give that over to someone else to take care of. That's their responsibility, and they have to really think through how they are going to best do that.
Yeah, I think here is a matter of Christian conscience, and the Lord alone is the Lord of conscience, and I think everybody needs to be convinced in their own minds. I do think that there are general principles in the Word that parents are responsible for, and they need to be intentional with the education of their children. They need to be laboring to give them a God-centered education. But having said that, I think that can be accomplished in different means. Obviously, it's probably easiest in one sense if your child is in homeschool. You completely control all of the curriculum and what they're learning. And I think that if parents choose to send their children to public school, they're going to have a little more effort to have to bring what those children are learning into a God-centeredness and into a Christian worldview. But I don't think that just because the Bible tells us to raise our children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord, that automatically excludes certain means of education. I think it just means that at times parents will need to work a little harder. I also think that while there's a huge responsibility for parents to be doing this, that also, I don't think the Bible forbids what you might call a degree of delegation. And by that, I don't mean a checking out and saying, well, I'm going to toss my kid off over here and let them do all the instruction and education. But I don't think we can read the Bible so narrowly. You know, when the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 6 says, fathers, raise your children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord, I don't think that means my wife is excluded from being able to do that in part, or that Sunday school teachers then aren't helping in a sense to do that. And I think the same would be true for other means of education. And so I do, this is something that I think we need to leave open to Christian liberty of conscience. But I do think parents need to be intentional. Just because it's a matter of conscience does not mean that we should not be wise in what we do. And I think that's one of my biggest concerns, is that a lot of people are not being wise in the way they think through the education of their children. And I don't mean that just for people who send their kids to public school. I mean that for people who homeschool their kids, might send them to Christian schools. As Christians, we need to be very intentional and we need to be wise. And these are not decisions that we are to carelessly make or make without thought, or make these decisions based on maybe community pressure. We need to really think through what is best for our children.
So it is possible to have this kind of a peer pressure then to conform to one means of educating your children versus another, which can be just as I guess your reasoning for doing it could be very unscriptural. And is there a problem with that? I mean, if I'm homeschooling my kids because everybody else in my church does it, and if I don't, then I'm going to be a social outcast. Am I really doing what the Lord is wanting me to do? That's not really right. A question, but that's an observation.
Right. I think it's a worthwhile observation to draw from my own experience. Rachel and I have chosen, at least through the elementary years, to educate our children at home. We are the only people in our church who do not send their kids to public school. And in fact, we are some of the only people in our community who homeschool our children and don't send them to public school. And nobody in the church and nobody in the community has ever, at least that I know of, cast a glance at us for that, or thought, you know, how rotten that is. The church was... I told the church that was what our plan was before I took the call here. They have been very gracious. They have never made it a point of contention. They've never even asked us to reconsider. So I don't want to say that. But regardless of that, I feel a little bit of pressure. I sometimes sit there and go, you know, a small community like mine, which thrives, and the reason for our existence is the public school. Well, here you have the one pastor in the community who lives here not sending his kids to that public school. How do I express a love for my community? How do I express an appreciation for our school district while we choose this style? And probably more so than my wife, I feel all the time all kinds of pressure. And again, not because anybody is pressuring me externally. I think it's probably more just an internal pressure born from my own sense. But so anyway, I think, but you're right. These questions as to why we choose these avenues, you know, I've talked to parents who send their kids to public school and they tell me, well, the reason is because public schools just need great Christian witness. And that's what my kids are going to be. Personally, I'm not convinced. I've met very few young people who are actually really outstanding witnesses. And I also believe the scriptures that say bad company corrupts good morals. And so that line of reasoning, I'm not fully convinced by. Our children need to have a foundation built before we cast them out to be these great lights and witnesses to the world. But I also, I know people who homeschool. You know, we had a visitor come to our church once who asked me why I don't discipline people who send their kids to public school. And they actually expressed this concern. They said, you know, how do you handle your children coming into daily contact with kids in the church who go to public schools? You know, and as if homeschool provides this great, well, you know, your kids' hearts are still sinful. We still believe that we're born in sin. We still believe in the doctrine of total depravity. My kids don't need to go to public school to learn that. They just need to look into their own hearts. So I do think these questions about why we do these certain means and why these certain, they matter. They're very significant. And I think we need to think through those.
A couple of things that come to mind as Kyle's sharing is that, you know, there are communities where there's a strong Christian presence in the public school, and it can be a real viable option to send your kids there because you know that there are going to be those that are watching over them, helping them, nurturing them. There's places where there's still the opportunity to get a Bible lesson or a Bible class and those types of things that are still going on in our culture. I know I have friends, we're thinking mostly about our American context, but I have friends in Northern Ireland, and it's amazing to hear the amount of the Bible and the amount of Christian teachers that are still present in the public schools. So we have to realize that there are those places where that's still prevalent. Also, this idea of sending our children into the public schools to be missionaries, so to speak, again, for really young children, that's just, I find that hard to, as Kyle, I would not encourage that. But I do know some very godly families who have homeschooled or Christian schooled their children up to a certain age. And then when they're in their latter part of their schooling in their high school years, do go into the public schools and do wonderful there because they do have that strong foundation and their parents are wanting them to engage in some of the wrestling with this world that that a high school provides. But that still doesn't mean you just go into the high school without some things built around to make sure you have, you would need to make sure you have Christian companions and friends and prayer, parents really engaging and being involved in what's going on at that school. I think that all still needs to be present there if you are choosing that public school option.
How do we help people? You know, I know I was a young parent one time needing help and figuring this stuff out. What advice do you have for parents? I mean, what helped you make your decision to either homeschool, public school, private school? I mean, what are some of the things that you do to help people out?
Barry is the old parent here. In fact, he's an old grandpa. And so I actually, as you asked this question, I think it's a great question. I would honestly love to hear from somebody who has gone through this with a number of kids. I'd like to hear from Barry's perspective.
Well, I was just in a group today where we were asked to share something we're thankful about. And my response was, I'm thankful to be a granddad. I love being a granddad. So I am thankful. I do think, again, that in the church environment, we really have to, as pastors and elders, make sure that we are encouraging in the congregation that we don't, like we see in Corinthians, start building these camps where it's the homeschoolers against the public schoolers, that type of thing going on. And I think that takes a lot of shepherding work. I think it involves the elders going and talking with parents and hearing their plans for their schooling, creating an environment in the church where it's safe to talk about these things without fear that you're going to be castigated. Yeah. So I think that's a big part of it is loving one another, accepting one another. I know that I've seen some of the most damage done by those in homeschooling, where they get so zealous and they begin to judge everyone else based on whether they homeschool or not, that it's almost becomes like a gospel issue to them. And I think we have to be really careful of that. As much as Miriam and I homeschooled for years and years, but we have to realize that homeschooling isn't going to save my child ultimately. We can raise a child in a homeschooling environment. And as Kyle said earlier, their sinful hearts are really the problem. And so we've got to work at seeing the gospel transform their heart. And so our education has to be toward that end, and our training of our children has to be toward that end. And each parent has to come at it. Parents have to come in at it in a way that's most helpful to that end. I've also seen a lot of people with resources look down on those who don't have those resources. So I know some parents can easily send their children to Christian school because they make a lot of money, or They have parents, grandparents that are supporting them. Those types of things make it possible for them. If you're dealing with the poor and they come into your church, a lot of times it's hard for them to send their kids to Christian schools. They don't have the ability or perhaps the education to train their own children well, and so they have to use the public schools as an option. I think we need to come around those types of families, surround them, support them, and if possible, and there's other ways that we can help them in the education of their children, figure out as a congregation to do that, if the parent is desirous and wanting that to happen. So I think it really begins with pastors and elders setting a proper tone in a church that really welcomes people that are coming to them that might be coming with different educational methodology.
Was that satisfactory for you, Kyle?
Very satisfactory. I am happy to sit at Barry's feet as long as he has shoes and socks on.
It did make me think of a question, though. Is there a time that you ever need to tell a parent or parents, hey, you shouldn't be doing this? And when is it proper for us to do that?
I think if we begin to see children exhibiting influences from harmful places, then we might come around their parents and ask them questions and get them to really be thinking, or even the child himself or herself. Especially, I think of a high school students that I've known that have gotten around bad company, and you start trying to shepherd them, get them to really think about their friendships and how important it is to be around, not isolated where you're only around Christians, but to make sure that they're not entering into unhealthy relationships with others. So if you see problems, and the same thing is true, again, I've seen parents in a homeschool situation where their children are really suffering because they're not being properly educated. And at least on one occasion, our session had to go and talk to the parents about that to try to offer some help and some guidance in that regard.
So it is appropriate maybe for the elders to say, hey, look, maybe the option that you're taking right now isn't the best fit for you. I mean, mm-hmm. Is that inappropriate to do?
I don't think so.
I don't think it's inappropriate, as long as I think it is approached still with this very humble attitude and not forcing, you know, not, we don't get to legislate details for people's lives. And right. And especially on areas like this, you know, if somebody's homeschooling and it doesn't look like that, you can't come and say, you need to public school. I think to raise awareness, to caution them, to walk through biblical principles, I think those things are very important. I think we begin to transgress what we are called to do as elders if you begin saying, therefore, you need to do X, Y, and Z in this regard. So
sometimes as elders, you have to watch people make dumb decisions.
Yeah.
and be patient with them and keep working with them and loving them and praying for them. There's lots of things you can be doing besides judging them. Yeah. You have to walk with people for seasons of their lives.
Yep. Well, our time is quickly drawn to a close, and we have only scratched the surface, I think, of this topic. Obviously, haven't come down solidly on any one of the three. There's a million other questions and things that we could discuss, but unfortunately, we're out of time. We are glad that you joined us for this episode. We would always appreciate your support, your feedback via email or comments, and even donations if you're so moved to do that. So on behalf of Kyle and Barry, we thank you so much for joining us, and we look forward to you joining us again.